Get her!
The leader charged forward. The Sekhman raised his blaster, but another slapped it down.
Alive, you fool! You want to go to the Baron's private room?
The officer paled and lowered his blaster while vigorously shaking his head. Alive, eh? Good. Christie went into a crouch and snapped off four fast shots. Three of the men dropped, clutching their bellies, but instead of scattering, the rest kept coming. Their terror of Overton overwhelmed any fear of death. Baring her teeth in rage, the redhead turned and sprinted down the street, firing wildly over her shoulder and reloading as she ran, searching for a fast escape. She couldn't head toward Ryan and the others, as that might give away the attack on Overton. Christie had to play for time and hope for the best. Taking a corner, the woman emptied the AK-47 at the mob of Sekhmen coming up the road. A dozen of the men collapsed to the ground, and one threw a brick. She ducked and ran, her heart pounding in her chest. If that had hit her head, she would have gone down for the count. And after seeing Overton's torture room, Christie would rather chill herself than be taken alive by the madman. Ducking into an alleyway, the red-haired beauty was blinded by the rising sun, but ran for her life, dropping the spent magazine of her weapon as she reloaded for the last time. 30 rounds, and she would be down to her wheel gun, useless against that many men. Christie slammed into a wall, losing her AK-47. The Sekhmen shouted in victory behind her, their voices coming closer. Desperately, she clawed the surface of the barrier, searching for a door or some way over the wall. But the new wooden planks were solid and without purchase. Voices filled the darkness of the alley, and Christie moved to the corner where the wall met the barrier, expecting to find a rain barrel, but the area was bare. Impossible. There were always barrels to catch rainwater or snow, and buckets for garbage. That was what an alley was for. Suddenly, the barrier shook, and Christie moved away just in time to avoid being crushed as the door swung downward, laying flat on the cobblestones. Brilliant electric lights washed over the alleyway, and she could dimly see a dozen more Sekhmen clustered around a pre-dark LAV-25 war wag.
Mother Gaia, save me.
She leveled her blaster and fired steadily. It was Overton's private garage for his war wags. A powerful tingle started to flow into her body as the woman summoned her mutie strength. Masculine hands grabbed her from every direction, and Christie fired her weapon directly into faces, the features of the men flashing into view for one split second before exploding from the deadly impact of the .38 caliber hollow point rounds. When the blaster clicked empty, she dropped it and grabbed a Sekhmen by the throat, crushing his neck. Somebody punched her in the stomach with no effect. Feeling as if she were in a dream, Christie slapped him to the wall, broken teeth flying. Another Sekhmen grabbed her legs, and she kicked him away to fly across the alley and hit the brick wall with a sickening crunch. But then, something hard rammed her head, and her vision blurred from a concussion. Drawing her belt knife, she slashed wildly, blood spraying across her body from severed arms and throats. A rifle barrel jabbed into her side, and Christie wrestled the blaster away from its owner and reversed the deadly autofire on her attackers. But as she pulled the trigger, it only clicked on an empty magazine. Tricked. Smashing the rifle over a Sekhmen's head, Christie dashed for the LAV, planning to lock herself inside. Scrambling up the sloped side, she lifted the heavy hatch, and a rifle stock slammed directly into her face. It was a moment of pain, then the world went completely black. Long blaster at his side, a Sekhmen wearing a blue shirt stood at the top of a flight of stairs inside the fortress. A tremendous stained glass window dominated the end of the hall, the morning sun filling the passage with a rainbow of hues. Listening for any sign of the Baron or his officers, the guard decided to risk lighting a cigar. Gratefully, he drew in a deep lungful of the smoke and exhaled with great satisfaction. Then he felt something like a bee sting him in the chest, and a purple spot appeared on his shirt. The stain spread fast and wide as a numbing cold filled his body, and he finally slumped to the floor, crushing the cigar underneath his cheek, the glowing tip hissing as it was extinguished on his bare skin. Barging from an alcove, Ryan and the others crossed the top of the stairs and entered the east wing. Almost instantly, they dived for cover as a score of volleys flew toward them.
Fire blast!
Ryan cursed behind a credenza, the heavy oak sideboard shuddering from the impact of bullets, the ancient china plate stacked neatly inside, shattering at every strike.
The son of a bitch has got half his troops here.
good!
JB stood and threw a grenade down the long hallway. The firing stopped, and one man dived from cover to grab the explosive and lob it straight through the stained glass window at the end of the hall. One moment later, the pre-dark window shattered from the outside blast, spraying rainbow glass everywhere.
Do it again! Shorter fuse!
Ryan fired blindly around the credenza. JB dropped the AK-47 and pulled the Uzi around to his front.
Can't. That was my last grin.
Doc?
The same, my dear Ryan.
Me too.
Dean was firing controlled bursts from underneath an ornately carved mahogany chair. Then his long blaster stopped, and he tossed it aside, drawing his Browning high power. He worked the slide and clicked off the safety in the same move, and commenced firing again. But much more carefully, placing his shots instead of just banging away at anything that moved. Safely ensconced behind heavy steamer trunks and from inside doorways, the company of blue shirts down the hallway sprayed streams of bullets at the companions. The fusillade chewed a path of destruction along the walls, destroying priceless family portraits, mirrors, and vases. Swords and riddled shields tumbled to the floors, flattened rounds ricocheting randomly, pounding on the doors and clearing tables of candelabra and oil lanterns. Several lanterns burst into flames, the spreading pools of burning oil generating volumes of thick black smoke. The head of a set man appeared above the top step of the stairs, his eyes darting about, only the tip of his weapon in sight. Dean waited until he rose a little higher and shot him in the ear as he turned. Limply, the dead man tumbled from sight. Staying low, Doc crawled along the hallway, grabbed two more lanterns, and threw them toward the set man and down the stairs. Both of the lanterns crashed into fireballs, blocking any possible attacks from that direction for a few minutes. The blue shirt shot at the overhead rafters in reply, with no appreciable effect, the bullets burying themselves in the massive oak timbers. Dropping the exhausted AK-47, Ryan checked the stair and worked the bolt. This sally was a total failure. He had hoped to catch Overton unprepared and end the fight in the Ville quickly. But Overton had expected such a risky plan, and while he didn't have them trapped yet, two directions were already cut off, and there was no doubt the other hallways would soon be sealed also.
Enough of this crap!
Ryan fired and smoothly worked the bolt action on the stair as fast as he could. A sec man in a doorway jerked and fell, but another filled the post, his AK-47 firing steadily.
First chance, we head for the southern parapet.
Regroup.
Jack slid his last clip into the hot belly of the Kalashnikov. JB peered owlishly through his glasses.
You're out of your mind, Ryan. That's a dead end.
Not for us.
Ryan raised the long blaster and shot at the ceiling. The support chain of an unlit chandelier snapped, and the massive fixture dropped, crushing four set men.
Charge!
Ryan started in the other direction. As the Sekman prepared for a rush, the companions hastily ran through the alcove. Nearby, a door opened a tiny crack, and a man wearing a blue shirt peeked out. Ryan almost fired, but stopped himself just in time when he realized it was the steward from the dining hall in a denim nightshirt. They're on the roof, the man mouthed, then closed the door. Maintaining cover fire with the stair, Ryan appreciated the warning. Once outside, they would have to keep moving, or else get caught in another deadly bottleneck. Just how many men did Overton have, anyway? Ryan had to have chilled 20 already just by himself. At a branching corridor, JB laid a handful of 7.62mm rounds on the carpet. Low on ammo, Doc asked a silent question.
Don't touch those. It's a special gift for the blue shirts. Trust me.
Just then, a sec man appeared through the smoke and died from a volley of fire from the companions. But others followed close behind the brave fool. Darting from doorways to tables, the friends made it alive to a set of winding stairs. Abandoning defensive actions, they bolted up the steps until reaching an ornate stained glass doorway. It was locked, but smashing through, they piled onto the parapet overlooking the southern acres of Front Royal. A team of prisoners was in the distance, cutting grass and stacking it as winter food for the cattle. Clouds moved low in the sky, and the morning shadow of the fortress stretched across the fields and forest.
Give me a hand here.
Ryan struggled with a decorative gargoyle set in a niche. Jack and Doc joined the man in rocking the granite statue to and fro until it dropped in front of the open doorway. The curved horns snapped off, but the figure was otherwise undamaged by the short fall. Crouching behind the outstretched wings of stone, JB sprayed a wreath of copper-jacketed 9mm rounds down the stairs, the slugs bouncing off the curved walls and whining out of sight. but there came no answering cries of pain.
What these?
Jack dropped his spent shells and thumbed fresh rounds in his Colt Python. Several canvas backpacks lay on the parapet, and he